This morning, the message that I'm going to be bringing to you is about guarding your heart, protecting your heart, watching over your heart, and it comes from Proverbs 4:23. And I'm going to, hopefully by the end of this morning, we will see that guarding our heart is something we should do. By the end of the morning, we should see why we should keep it guarded. We should also see how we can keep our heart guarded as well. There you are. I can remember, I don't know, maybe a year ago or so. I have three kids, if you don't know that already. If you don't know that, I have three children. My oldest boy, his name is Louis. And then I have my middle son, his name is Tuck. And my youngest child, her name is Lucy. Lucy will turn 4 in August. And it was, I don't know, maybe a year ago, 2 years ago, perhaps. And my wife, Jess, was having a heated discussion with a 2-year-old little girl. And if you're a parent, you've been there 1,000 times. If you haven't been a parent yet, it's coming. So she was having a heated debate with Lucy, our youngest. And Jess and I, this would have been last year, because we just got back from a workshop, a one-day workshop out at Mahaffey by Ted Tripp about guarding your heart. And it was a parenting workshop. And so she was trying to apply some of the things that we had learned. So she kept saying to Lucy this phrase. She kept saying, "Lucy, guard your heart. Lucy, guard your heart. You need to listen fastly. Guard your heart, guard your heart." And you could just hear that tone in a mother's voice when the child doesn't obey. And you could pick out that tone that was changing. And eventually Jess said, "Lucy Mae, guard your heart. You're not doing it." Now all of my kids have been blessed with something from their father. It's called their stubbornness. That might be the hunky in me, I don't know, but they all have it. And Lucy, when she heard that from her mom's, yelled in her little 3-year-old voice, "Mama, I'm guarding my heart, and it's still beating." There's a lot of wisdom in that little 3-year-old's mind, isn't there? So you and I are no different than that little girl. We have beating hearts that need checked regularly, spiritually speaking. And as a parent, those of us that still have kids at home, it's our responsibility to train our children in the art of checking their hearts. Now, before you check out and say, "I don't have kids," or "my kids are grown," we have a couple questions. Got ahead of myself. A couple questions that have got to bring us back to whether or not this message is for you. Have you ever said or did something at work and found the approval of your boss or your fellow coworkers, but inside you felt like a hypocrite? See, these are heart questions. Are you participating in a ministry right now out of a feeling of obligation? Do you ever say you believe in a position, yet what you say you believe, your life doesn't match up with it? Have you ever changed your behavior to fit in, knowing it wasn't who you were? Have you ever heard a teaching from the Bible that you disagreed with, at least you said you disagreed with it, because you knew you would have to submit to it? What has caused you humiliation or embarrassment, but you wouldn't change the cause of that or the result of that for the life of you because you know that it's brought out your character and it's refined you into something better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then this message is for you. It's not a parenting message. Don't worry. If you answered no to all those, you have my permission. You can stand up and excuse yourself out, and you can just take care of the nursery duty for the next 30 minutes or so. This isn't a how to raise your kids message, because heaven knows I'm hanging on by the seat of my pants in that area. This message instead is to showcase a dad's journey from a life of vanity to watching that vanity vanish into something better, healthier, perhaps even more holy. The goal of the gospel is not merely changing what we do, but it's to address our soul's need to be healed of its brokenness. Let me say it again. The goal of the gospel is not merely changing what we do, but it's to address all of our soul's need to be healed of its brokenness. This, in turn, should result in some outward improvements of our lifestyles. See, focusing on the heart of the matter actually brings healing and growth. Just the other day, Thursday, we had some friends over for dinner. And you have to understand that when this couple comes to our house, Louis, my oldest, wrestles with the guy of the group, who's a man and a woman. That's their thing. The second Louis sees them, I mean, it's just all out, fists are flying, they're going at it. Not violently, but you got to understand my six, almost seven-year-old son, he loves to wrestle. So Louis and this individual were going at it, and Louis was doing pretty good. He was holding his own until the six-foot Goliath picked him up in the air. And then Louis's legs were just dangling like this. And instinctually, he knew he had one move. Louis had one move he could do. No, it's not that move. He just proceeded to take his left hand and punch the six-footer in the side of the temple over and over again. And I'm seeing all this transpire in my kitchen, mind you. And I'm thinking, wow, good cross, Lou. But then I was like, whoa, wait a minute. He's punching our guest. That's not normal. So you see, at that moment, I had a choice as a dad. I had a choice. I could do what might seem to be the easier thing and come down hard on my son and scold at him angrily or give him some kind of severe consequence. Or I could do the harder thing and focus on his heart. See, disciplining your kids has to be a focus on the heart and checking their hearts. Keeping my kids' heart at my focus and disciplining them is the only way of proving for healing and growth. And that's a reflection on my own life and your own lives. If you want healing and growth, you've got to focus on the heart and not what you do. As I mentioned, Jess and I attended a workshop last August, and it was by Ted Tripp up in Mahaffey. The Liver Goods were there, and some other folks went up as well. And at that training, Ted Tripp gave a workshop from Proverbs 4:23. That's where we're going to be today. And it says that, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do comes from it. And he humbly said, this is not something I came up with on my own. This is something that is from Scripture. And if you're looking for a way to get into the Bible or pick up a reading plan of some way, pick Proverbs. There's 31 of them. There's roughly 31 days in a calendar month. Pick a chapter a month or chapter a day per month. Work your way through it. When you do that, you hit day 4. We'll put you in chapter 4. And it says in chapter 4, verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do comes from it. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. This morning, my 3 points to keep us on task and to keep us moving along. What is it to guard your heart or to keep your heart? Why should you keep your heart? And lastly, how do you keep it? What does that look like? What are some examples of that? Before we get into this, would you pray with me one last time, please? Thank you. Father God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you're in this room right now. Father, my prayer is that the message that you want us to hear this morning would come from you, that this wouldn't be Josh speaking, it wouldn't be my lips talking, but it would be from you. Teach me and teach us, Lord, what you want us to get from this. We just thank you for that. We thank you for your presence, and we pray it in your loving name. Amen. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Now, I don't doubt for a second that there's people in this room that could speak this message better than me, that know the ins and outs of this scripture better than me. Some of you may have heard this message 100 times before in your life. My purpose today is just to remind us of that. It's all I want to do is just remind us today. So what does it mean to guard your heart or to keep your heart? Now, the literal heart is a hollow muscular organ that helps sustain life. At least that's what Google tells me. Each of us in this room have one, obviously. Now, some of us might have some circuitry keeping ours moving along, but we all have one. But that's not what I want to talk about today. I don't want to talk about a hollow muscular organ. Instead, I want to talk about what maybe modern literature would talk about your soul or your core or your just your deep down inside that of you. That's what I want to focus on today. Now see, regardless of your background or your socioeconomic status, we all guard things. This morning when you guys left your home, some of you might have locked your house up. You want to guard your house. Some of you might have locked your car door in the parking lot. When you cross the street with young kids, you should hold their hands to guard them, protect them from an accident. If you play pickup basketball, you might play man defense where you're responsible for guarding an opponent so that way he or she doesn't get the ball and score. Hunters every fall spend countless hours and time protecting their tree stands so that way their prey can't win them. Guarding things in our lives, in our physical world, is kind of like a natural reaction for us. But keeping your heart, or guarding your heart, is a little bit different. It takes a little bit more effort than playing shutdown defense on somebody. Or maybe turning the bolt on your lock of your front door. I think that's why Solomon says, above all else, guard your heart. I think he knew that it would be a challenge for us too. That it wouldn't be easy. And history has shown that. There's mountains of evidence supporting that, of people and societies who haven't guarded their hearts and where that's led them to. I also think that Solomon knew it was possible for us to keep our hearts. And I think he knew that we would want to keep our hearts, that we would want to guard our hearts. I think the heart is good. And I know some of you might argue that and say, what about Jeremiah 17? Let's think about Jeremiah 17 for a second. In verse 9, it says the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? Good point. Touche. But I've also learned that you should not isolate one verse in the Bible and focus on it, but instead you should kind of challenge it and filter it and look and see what does it say elsewhere. If I go over to Hebrews 10, those of us that are relying on the blood of Christ for our salvation says that our hearts have been cleansed. They'll never be pure. But they're cleansed. Or Romans, when Paul's speaking, he says that the Holy Spirit is filling up our hearts. Later in the New Testament, in James, I know James says the heart can be double-minded. So what's the point, Josh? The point is this. Above all else, guard your heart. Guard it. There's something good there if it's kept guarded. If we're serious about walking a redemptive life, then a direct outcome of that choice should have us keeping our hearts aligned to God. If we increase the amount of energy we use to keep our hearts in tune with God, then there's got to be other parts, other portions of our life that needs to come down. See, Satan tries to distract us. He tries to distract us with chasing these meaningless passions for meaningless reasons. And then we go on this little trail that lead to nothing anyways. See, you can't have it both ways. One's got to decrease while one increases. Think of it this way. Imagine if you played the guitar. Raise your hand if you play the guitar or have played the guitar at one point in your life. Raise your hand, please. Good and high. Okay, cool. I don't play the guitar. When I play the guitar ugly. But I know scores of people who do. What I do know about a guitar is you have to tune it. And that when you tune a guitar and then you lean it on a wall and leave it alone, that guitar will take itself out of tune. Or if you tune a guitar and then leave it and then somebody bumps into it, the guitar comes out of tune. A guitar is a finicky little object. And your heart is a finicky little object as well. Because just when you think your heart is in tune, you're out of tune. It's finicky. It's tricky. That's why guarding your heart needs to occur above all else. Secondly, why should we keep our hearts? What's the point of this? Well, the most obvious reason is that when you don't check your heart, your that hollow muscular organ, when you don't do checks on that heart, That could lead to heart disease. When I was in college, I had the opportunity to play college athletics. And training in the off season meant two things. One, lots and lots of sore muscles. And number two, huge amounts of calorie intake. It was nothing in the off season to eat 5,000 to 6,000 calories to fuel me through training sessions. Now, if I tried to eat that much food now, Matt's laughing at me already. If I tried to consume that right now, I do nothing now. Just so you guys know that. If I tried to consume 6,000 calories of food, we can already know what's going to happen. My waistline's going to get bigger, and my blood pressure's going to go through the roof. Because the human body wasn't designed to take that much in and not exert those calories as energy. Your heart's similar. Your spiritual heart. If you try and fill it up with too much stuff, and you don't keep it guarded, the result will be decisions that end up bad or poor, to be politically correct. See, poor decisions don't just happen. It's the fruit you bear from a sick heart that's left unchecked. And Jesus hit on this in Luke 6. He says that a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And Mark references it as well. Mark says that it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, so on and so forth. I need a volunteer. Blaine, come on up. You're the only guy that raised his hand. Step up this way. Everybody, this is Blaine. Everybody say hello to Blaine. Hi. Blaine, say hi back. Okay. Blaine is my nephew, and Blaine has no idea what he's doing right now. Okay. Blaine, what am I holding?
Water.
Looks like there's water inside of a what? Cup. Okay. Will you hold that? Okay. All right. Now, if I were to walk beside Blaine, who's daydreaming, not paying attention, and I bump into him, what do you think is going to happen? Common sense. What's going to happen? He's going to spill it, right? So if I bump into him, did coffee spill out? Did milk spill out? Why'd water spill out? Sarah? There's water in the glass. So if my heart is filled up with, you can have a seat, Blaine. Everybody give Blaine a big round of applause, would you? See, it's from within the cup that the water comes. So you got to guard your heart on what you're putting into your heart, because out of the heart is what we get. So what's the point of guarding your heart? Why should we do it? Because as the Bible says in one translation, it's your wellspring. What you do flows out of you, out of your heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Our words, our actions, it's an outpouring of the heart. If we don't keep it guarded, it's going to show like a billboard. And that journey from your mind to your hands, or from your heart to your hands, it's a lot shorter than what you think. Okay, I get it. Guard your heart. But how do I guard my heart? What's that look like? Well, first of all, I think Solomon felt, and I agree with him, that we have the ability to do it. In other words, why would he instruct us to guard our hearts if we couldn't do it? Above all else, guard your heart. So he felt that it was something we had the ability to do. Fatherhood has taught me that my kids' immaturity prohibits them from guarding their own hearts. So it's my responsibility as their father, and Jess as their mother, to help train them and coach them to check their hearts. Additionally, I think we get physical reminders sometimes that we've guarded our hearts. I mentioned I have three kids, and Dave prayed for my family this morning because we're in the process of an adoption right now. And I think that, no thanks about it, the day that I submitted to that and chose to follow that, there was an incredible warmth all through me. And it's not a, dang it. I don't like doing this. Especially not in front of all these people. There was an incredible physical warmth that went all through my body. And it wasn't anything other more than I think the Spirit reminded me, yes, you're doing the right thing. We get the flip side of that too, don't we? When you do something, and you get that feeling in the pit of your stomach like, oh, why did I do that? That's not me. That's not what I know. But you do it, and then you get that feeling. Yeah, some of us are nodding our heads on that too. Get that reminder that you didn't guard yourself. You fell into that lie. So those physical reminders show up in sometimes, on occasion. If you chew on this principle long enough and you observe your surroundings for any length of time, you can see those examples, those non-examples, I guess I should say, of people guarding their hearts, people who have kept their hearts in check. Again, I know in my life, in particular, I'm surrounded by kids nearly 24 hours a day, especially during the school year. And I suffer from great amounts of selfishness. Because when you're around kids any length of time, you know you don't have any time for yourself. So I react. I fill up my heart with that selfishness. And what comes out of my cup then are reactive words. Not now, I'm busy. What'd you do that for? Use your head. Let's go. Why am I repeating myself? Let's move. Now, obedience is a great thing, but there's a whole lot of wrong of what I just said. And you heard it in the tone, not necessarily the words, but the tone. See, if you don't check your heart, that happens. So I got to constantly remind myself to check my heart in that. What about the time when we don't engage our kids or your neighbors, the people living right beside you or across the street from you? Because it might interrupt your me time. Check your heart. What about when there's a chance to help with some kind of a ministry? Or possibly take your family on a short-term mission somewhere. Somewhere local or somewhere abroad. But instead, you get distracted with the March Madness sale down at Grice's and gyms. And you go and buy another rifle that you don't need. Or you go buy a new bow, even though your old bow worked just fine. Or a new fly rod when you already have three. Or new kitchen cabinets from Lezzer's. Because they would look so pretty in our kitchen. But the old cabinets work just fine. Holding dishes and pots. Guard your heart. As I wrap up this morning, I think it's wise to look at the Bible as a whole. From Genesis to Revelation. And see how the characters of the Bible had their hearts tested from time to time. And it starts way back at the beginning with Adam and Eve in the garden. They were with God in the garden, yet they chose to not guard their hearts and obey, and they were casted out. And then we move into the story of Noah. And at that time, the human heart, every inclination of the human heart was full of evil. And we move ahead even further to when Saul was placed as king over Israel, and Saul quickly didn't guard his heart, and the results that happened from that. And then he gets replaced with David, a man after God's own heart. But we know the story well enough that David didn't guard his heart either. And he fell into the trap of murder and adultery. And then there's even Solomon, the guy we read today, who started out well, but in his old age, followed his wives into chasing false idols. And it isn't until we meet Jesus in the New Testament as the man who kept his heart guarded. I think Paul tells us, how do we keep our heart in check? I think at the end of the day, you got to reflect. I think at the moment, you have to reflect. Did I choose to guard my heart and keep it for Him? History has shown that when individuals fail at keeping the main thing, we lose every time. Or if we get on this trap of chasing the pleasures of people or our own passions, that too will show empty. But being lost doesn't have to last a lifetime. The vitality or the vital pieces when they're lost or left unchecked, it doesn't have to last forever. And that's one of the beautiful things about the cross, is that when Jesus went to the cross, he knew we were going to do that. And he knew that we would have to come back to him, and he provides that for us. So if you're sitting here this morning beating yourself up, part of me wants to say good, but more than that, I want to say go to the cross. Go to the cross. And if you're sitting here saying, man, that's what it's talking about, and you don't know where you're at in that relationship, and you're feeling tired as though you have a stone of guilt hanging on your neck or it's just weighing you down, Jesus would say to you, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I can give you that rest. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of your life. Let's close in prayer, the musicians come. Father God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you, Holy Spirit, give us power to guard our hearts, that it's through you that we can evaluate what we do and whether or not it's in tune with you. Thank you for that. Father, forgive us for all of those times where we haven't checked our heart or our motives, but we fell into the trap of perhaps chasing a passion for a meaningless reason. That our own self-addiction got in the way. Father, forgive us of that. Father, we repent of that this morning, and we choose to move on from here. We choose to lay this at the cross and nail it there, knowing that it's forgiven. We don't know why you would do this for us. We're just grateful and thankful. Lord, we love you, and we thank you. We pray all these things in your most holy name, Jesus. Amen.